The spinning cogs of a complex mechanism open up heavy metal doors on the word, Lion's Gate. The sun sets across a placid lake, as a young boy runs along a wooden jetty and leaps into the water. Lakeshore Entertainment. A Lakeshore Entertainment / Lionsgate production in association with Midnight Picture Show and Green Street Films. The lights of a passing train flash past as a man dozes on the late-night subway, his head resting against the window. His eyes blink open, and he looks around the empty car, still half asleep. The lights fizz and flicker. He rubs his eyes, looking towards the noise from the next car, as the lights snap off and on again. He picks up his briefcase and walks along the car. He slips, cracking his head violently on the floor. He opens his eyes, head spattered with red. He holds up his hands in front of his face. They drip with blood. He stares at them and they start to shake. He sits up in a pool of blood, tries to get to his feet, but slips and slides about in the gore. Grabbing a metal rail, he hauls himself up, staring towards the next car. The connecting door and windows are streaked with blood. The lights flick off and on as he makes his way unsteadily towards the door. Reaching it, he looks through the darkened window, wide-eyed. In the flickering darkness, he stares in horror at a kneeling man. The flash of a silver mallet, and spurts of bright red blood. The Midnight Meat Train. At a busy junction in New York City, the lights turn red, allowing pedestrians to walk. Among them is a guy in his 30s with short dark hair. Something catches his attention and he stops in the middle of the street, lifts a camera to his eye, and takes the shot. Framed black and white photos decorate the moss green walls of an apartment. Many of them feature a young woman with shoulder-length blonde hair. The same woman sits hunched on an armchair, making notes with a highlighter pen in a large book resting on her knees. What? She smiles as the photographer Leon comes in, kicking off his shoes and tossing down keys.
Hey.
Did you finish your reading?
Yeah. Most of it. Do you know how everyone's always complaining about how dangerous and dirty the city is and how they wish they could go back to the good old days when it wasn't?
Well, it turns out there never really were any good old days. It's always been a hellhole.
He sits with a stack of photos and a magnifier.
You don't find me fascinating anymore?
What?
Babe, are you all right?
No.
No?
No. Some Russian cabbie jumped a curb today and knocked a pedestrian through a storefront window, and I got there just as they were loading the body in the bag, and I thought I got the shot. Something that the Post would buy, you know, but I don't think it's good enough.
What if I had some good news for you? You know, like news that meant you could throw away your police radio and only shoot the stuff you want forever and ever.
I'd marry you.
That's it.
What else do you want?
Well,
How about you in a bed, not worrying about anything for at least an hour, except how to make me and yourself really, really happy?
That's a deal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like that? That's good. So, you know how you're always wishing Jurgis would introduce you to some of his fancy art world friends, and you can never understand why he doesn't? Mm-hmm. Well, I called him today, and I said, Jurgis, how come you don't introduce Liam to any of your fancy art world friends? And do you know what he said?
What?
That he didn't do it because he figured that when you were ready, you would ask. So I asked for you. Isn't that great? Do you know who Susan Hoff is?
Of course. You kidding?
Do it look like I'm kidding you? You're meeting her tomorrow.
Are you kidding me?
No. Does my hour start now?
Leon and his friend Jurgis are in a chic modern gallery looking at paintings. Leon is clutching a portfolio.
Whatever you do, don't mention Maya.
What? What?
Susan likes her artists young, male, and single. Actually, you know what? The male part isn't that important. Oop, here we go. Hello, my darling.
Hello.
Sorry that we're late.
Oh, don't apologize. Punctuality means nothing to me. It's a virtue for the mediocre. You know, when I first knew that Basquiat was a genius, when he was 3 days late for lunch. So, tell me about your work. Explain it to me. What interests you?
City.
Why?
Because no one's ever captured it. Not the way it really is. The heart of it. That's my goal, that's my dream.
Then you're failing.
She points to a photo of two men sitting close on a late night subway.
You were at the right place, weren't you?
Yeah.
But not the right time. The image grabs our attention, sure, but so what? It's melodrama. Arresting, but empty. I want to know what comes next. I want to see the face of the businessman when the filth touches him. The next time you find yourself at the heart of the city, stay put. Be brave. Keep shooting. Then come see me.
Handing back the portfolio, she pats Jurgis on the shoulder and strides away.
She hates my work.
No, she doesn't. And when she hates someone's work, she gives them about a minute. You've got three.
So what, she likes it?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
You think she's right, don't you?
As they lie in bed, Maya strokes Leon's bare chest.
She's not.
She curls up and closes her eyes. Leon stares up at the ceiling. An empty subway car jiggles from side to side as it rattles through a tunnel. The seat backs glow red. The hang straps are smeared with blood. Leon's eyes flick open, and as he looks over to the bedside clock, it clicks to 1:10. Now dressed and with his camera, he walks the city streets. A number of stores are open, their windows bright in the surrounding darkness. He turns and watches as an old guy pushes a trash cart past him. He stops to capture images. A building screened with scaffold. A concrete service road. a bearded guy with a pork pie hat crossing the street. Three young black guys walk past, one smashes a bottle on the sidewalk. He photographs them. He follows them along the street to the subway, watching them from the top of a wide concrete stairwell. As they disappear from view, he hurries down the steps to a large concourse where a handful of people mill about. Halfway down a stairway to the subway platform, he sees the guys pinning a young woman against the handrail. He takes the shot.
Oh, no. Time to pay the toll, baby.
Leave me alone, please.
As one of them strokes her cheek with a blade, she sees Leon.
You got a pain in your knees, baby.
Hey!
They see Leon and shove the woman aside.
What the fuck you gonna do, bitch?
Should come up here and find out.
What?
That's good. Yeah, that's great. All right, stop right there. Right there, stop. That's perfect.
He points at a surveillance camera.
You ever starred in a movie before?
The leader glares threateningly. Leon stands his ground nervously as the young guy comes up the steps towards him, getting closer and closer. Right in his face. Turning, he calls down the stairwell.
Yo! Let's go!
They shove the woman away and join their leader, pushing past Leon at the top.
Dead, motherfucker.
Leon rushes down to the woman.
You okay?
Thanks. Most of the people would have ran away.
Yeah, I didn't this time.
Yeah.
She grabs his face and kisses him on the lips. Leaving him a little stunned, she runs down the steps to the platform. The closing doors are held open by a man's hand. As she gets on, she looks back at Leon, who winks at her and takes a series of photos.
Thanks.
The doors close and the train leaves, rattling along the tracks. Sitting in the almost empty car, the woman takes headphones from her coat pocket and puts them in her ears. Behind her, the suited man who held the door open for her stands and puts a large black holdall on the seat. From the bag, he takes a large, polished silver meat tenderizer. Approaching the woman from behind, he lifts the mallet above his head, smashing it down into the woman's skull. As the train screams through dark tunnels, the suited man kneels by the woman, carefully wiping the lipstick from her face. In his apartment, Leon stands in the kitchen, pinning photographs on a line to dry.
Hey, babe?
Yeah?
You see my purse?
Yeah, it's on the chair.
Maya looks at the images.
When did you take these?
Last night.
You have to show these to Susan Hoff. What you said she wants, I mean, this is it.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. And if it's not, I hope I never see it.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Babe, I'll see you later.
Leon sits up at the counter of a diner as Maya brings him breakfast.
Here you go, sir.
Thanks, babe.
Hands off.
Taking a tub from his bag, he slides it across to the bandana-wearing chef.
No fucking way.
Come on, one last time.
I said never again, and I meant it.
Look, if I don't care that your disgusting grease gets all over my tofu, why do you care that my tofu would get all over your disgusting grease?
Because my customers, real Americans with blood in their veins,
really?
They don't want their Philly cheesesteak within a mile of a bean curd. Even saying it makes me want to puke.
They're never going to know the difference.
Oh, no.
Tofu's tasteless.
Oh, so now you admit it.
Of course.
My gramps, God rest his soul. Jesus, if he ever saw me do this, he'd rise from the dead and make a sausage out of me.
Yeah, and your red-blooded customers would gobble it right up.
Otto throws the tofu on the grill. Leon sips his coffee and flicks through the newspaper. He stops mid-sip as he sees a headshot of the woman from the subway, and a headline that she disappeared in the early morning hours.
Maya. Mm-hmm. That's the same girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's a model. Erica Sakaki disappeared after leaving a downtown club shortly after 2 a.m. Oh, my God.
What?
That's right when I shot her.
I gotta go.
Where are you going?
Cops. I'll call you later.
A black female detective glances through the photos.
And they ran off after you made your presence known.
No. Did you see them? No, no. It wasn't until I pointed out the surveillance camera to them. That's what made them leave.
Where'd they go?
I thought that they left, but it's quite possible, and that's why I'm here to tell you that perhaps they went down another stairwell and entered the same train that she went in.
And you?
I told you, I did not get on the train. I left on foot.
Okay.
Okay? Well, I'm sure everything you need to know will be on that surveillance tape.
Do you sell your photos?
What? Yes, but not like this. Except police calls mostly.
Erica's a pretty big model. Tabloids be interested in these.
Really? I wouldn't know.
Is that so?
Yeah. I wasn't stalking her, if that's what you're indicating. Look, I saw these guys. I thought that they looked suspicious, so I followed them.
But you did continue to photograph her.
Well, yeah, but I guess so, but...
Why?
He squirms a little under her steady gaze. She hands him a card.
Come up with an answer. Call me.
She eyes him coolly as he leaves. Lit by bright sunlight through the large industrial windows of the gallery, Leon sits waiting on a sofa. He jumps nervously to his feet as Susan strides towards him, clutching prints of his photos.
What?
Does nothing. I just didn't imagine you to be the kind of person that would say, whoa.
I'm not. I don't. I haven't said it since high school. But that's how good it is.
They sit together on the sofa.
I'm having a group show in 3 weeks. Get me 2 more images that strong, and you'll be a part of it.
Squeezing his knee, she goes.
Ow!
Leon, Maya, and Jorgis are in a bar.
Good one. Without your unconditional love and support, and without you finally introducing me to one of your contacts, I can't believe you made me wait so long. None of this would have been possible. I love you both.
Cheers.
Cheers.
They down a shot.
Now I must depart.
What? No.
Where are you? What?
Two
more images. That's what she said.
Not tonight. No. What can't...
2 more shots. That's all I need.
What about these shots?
Above ground, the lights of the city glitter against the night sky. Below, a subway train hurtles through miles of tunnel.
Hey, tell your wife to relax. Sweetie, I take the train every day, safer than walking.
But you hear these stories.
That was ages ago. Look, no graffiti, air conditioning works, you can understand the conductor. It's a new century.
We're getting off the next stop, so you can do what you want, but we're getting off, okay?
Right. Fine. You know what? We can go back to my place, and we here can cook us a nice romantic dinner
for
three.
Did we just miss our stop?
Talk my wife into bed.
I think you're into it, actually.
Randall.
You were cool with it.
Wait a second, honey. You know...
Reflected in the window, the suited man approaches with his mallet.
Maybe if you didn't sleep throughout
Randall.
The day, you'd actually enjoy
what?
It. She's been checking me out there in the...
Randall is struck in the back of the head, his eyeball flying out. Blood spatters over his wife.
Randall!
He sinks to his knees like a red fountain, revealing the man in his smart suit and tie, meat tenderizer in one hand, meat hook in the other. As the other guy backs away, the man strides towards him, thrusting the meat hook up between his legs. The wife slips in the blood, squirming on the floor and trying to claw her way to the end of the car. As the man calmly follows, the friend grabs his ankle. The tenderizer hammers him full in the face. Randall's wife crawls ever more desperate, almost reaching the door. The man hooks her ankle and drags her thrashing back down the car. She turns pleading with him, but he looms over her, his face like stone. He raises the mallet. All three bodies lie slathered in their own blood. The man lowers his mallet, his image reflected in the staring eyeball of the woman's dismembered head. Above ground, Leon walks the darkened streets. He sits down on a bench opposite the entrance to the subway. He sits up, camera at the ready, as the man emerges from the subway. He glides up on the escalator in his dark suit and black tie, his hair slicked back. He holds his hands by his sides. In one of them he carries the large black leather holdall. Leon takes the shot. The man straightens his jacket and strides across the street. Leon gets up, following from a distance. The man turns down a side alley. As Leon hurries round the corner after him, he sees the man has stopped. Leon takes a deep breath and carries on walking. As he passes, the man grabs his arm. Gripping Leon's upper arm, he turns to face him, jaw clenched. Leon sees a large star-shaped ring on the man's middle finger.
I'm sorry, mister. I just wanted a picture of you. Sometimes I don't know what I'm thinking.
The man lets him go. He turns and walks away. Leon watches him cross the road and walk towards the Hotel Barclay. At the doors, the man stops and looks back at Leon, then steps inside. In the kitchen back home, Leon develops his film under a dim red light, dipping each print in its chemical bath before hanging it up on the line to dry. He looks at the images taken in the subway, of the black youths, and the missing model, examining each image with a magnifying glass. As she turns to him, just about to board the train, he notices the hand holding open the door. It wears a star-shaped ring on the middle finger. Deep in thought, he looks at one of the newer images of the suited man emerging from the subway. In his hotel suite, the man goes to the bathroom. Standing in front of a mirror, he puts on a crisp white shirt and a black tie, knotting it with care. He takes out a comb and smooths his short black hair back from his rugged forehead. He pulls on his suit jacket, buttons it neatly, and deftly flicks out each cuff. With a final glance in the mirror, he turns and goes into the hall. He picks up the leather holdall and goes. From across the street, Leon watches. He follows at a distance, camera in hand. Wide streets give way to narrow back alleys, filled with dumpsters, cartons, and trash sacks. The man cuts a curiously smart figure among the jeans, aprons, and bandanas of the others in the alley. Leon follows him through a dark concrete passageway and out into Heron Street, where the man walks towards an old factory building. Either side of the doorway are closed metal shutters. Black lettering on the white painted wall reads, "Meat Packing." The man goes inside. Leon follows him in. Peering through the thick plastic curtain, he sees animal carcasses hooked up on a rail. Men in white overalls with hair nets and blue hard hats spin and slide the carcasses along the rail. He gets the shot. He freezes as the man, now in overall and hard hat, passes close by, carrying a large carcass across the factory floor. The sky is dusky blue as from behind a stack of wooden pallets, Leon watches the man leave the factory. He follows him down the wide concrete stairwell of the subway and onto the busy concourse. The man sits on a bench on the platform, his black leather bag resting on his knees. He stays perfectly still as trains arrive and people get on and off. Leon watches from behind a banister, his camera in his hand, as trains and people come and go, a flurry of turbulence around the statuesque figure of the man. Gradually, the platform empties. The man watches an approaching train. Leon takes repeated shots as the train stops, the doors fold open and a man gets on. As Leon follows, he's stopped by a security guard.
Hey, buddy.
What?
Mind if I take a look?
Whoa. Officer, you can't do that.
Yes, I can. Orange alert and above, I can search whatever I want. How do I know you don't got explosives in this thing?
It's a camera!
As the guard examines his camera, Leon watches the departing train. The train speeds on, running a red signal and forking right onto a branch line. The man sits in an almost empty car, his bag resting on his knees. A large black guy, in fatigue pants and beret, walks through from another car. Stopping and looking at the man, he fakes a judo move.
Yeah. Life is like a box of chocolates.
He walks away. As the guy peers out through the carriage windows, the suited man slowly turns to look at him. He's hammered from behind and slumps to the floor. The man raises the silver mallet to strike again, but falters and drops it. Clutching the hang strap for support, he coughs up blood. The guy pulls out a hunting knife and attacks. They grapple, faces close. The guy is stabbed with his own knife. He kicks the man across the carriage, pulls the knife out of his shoulder and goes on the attack, kicking and stamping on his assailant's head.
This is a citizen's arrest!
The driver hears the commotion as the two men slug it out. The driver grabs his firearm and heads back along the train. As they lock together, the driver aims his pistol and fires. The black guy sinks to his knees, the back of his head blown away. The driver looks at the man.
I'm very disappointed in you, Mahogany. Clean up the mess.
As he walks away, Mahogany tugs at his suit jacket and smartens his tie knot. Maya lets herself into the diner. Morning sunlight filters through the windows as she wipes down the counter and dusts the seat backs. She spots a small ring box on the counter. She looks around, furs the cloth on the counter and picks up the box. As she opens it, Leon jumps out and grabs her from behind.
How'd you get in here?
Sprinky.
Okay, before you freak out, let me just say it's not an engagement ring until I make enough money, but it says that we're engaged to be engaged. It's not bad, right?
No.
She smiles as he shows her the ring.
Taste. No, you don't. It's beautiful.
I think so.
He takes it out and tries to slip it on her little finger. It's too tight, so he takes the ring off and puts her finger in his mouth, sucking it sensuously.
I can't imagine my life without you.
As As they kiss more passionately, he turns her round and rubs her breasts. He thrusts a hand between her legs, then she flops forward over the counter. He sinks to his knees, kissing and caressing her. Pulling up her skirt, he enters her from behind. The thrusting, slow at first, becomes more urgent. Pinned to the counter, Maya's face creases with pain as the thrusting becomes more violent. The blood-spattered night train speeds through a tunnel. Rows of bloodied human carcasses hang down from the straps. One man hanging upside down is still alive. He sees feet coming into view, a butcher's apron. The butcher stoops and slits its throat. Blood gushes and spatters onto the floor. Reflected in the pool of blood, the face of the man with the knife. It's Leon. Leon wakes with a start. A red light flashes as the train hurtles along the tracks. In the hotel bathroom, Mahogany stares at himself in the mirror. He unbuttons his shirt, revealing a series of crusted growths sprouting across his chest. Reaching for a scalpel, he cuts away at them, tossing them in the wash basin. Opening a jar, he drops them into the clear liquid inside. Closing the lid, he puts it on a shelf in a cabinet with other similar jars. He swallows a couple of tablets. He takes a deep breath and buttons up his shirt. Maya walks through to the kitchen where Leon is chopping veg. She helps herself to a cold beer and looks up at the hanging photographs.
Who's this guy?
Oh, I don't know. It's a butcher. He was at the station the night that model disappeared.
Are they for your show?
No, there's just something about him.
Yeah. I'd say. But why are you following him? It seems like you should be working on your stuff for Susan.
No, I know, but if that model's still missing and he was there at the station that night...
Yeah, so just, give a picture to the cops and move on. I mean, people disappear all the time. Whatever happened, they'll figure it out.
In a library study room, Leon sits looking at a magnifier screen, scrolling through microfilm of old newspapers. He stops at a headline, Butcher Held in Killings. It's dated 1895. Leon waits outside the meatpacking factory on Heron Street. He photographs Mahogany as he crosses the road in front of a forklift and goes in. Inside, Leon grabs a hard hat and overalls and puts them on. He follows a couple of other workers to the factory floor. Carcasses hang from a rail in the ceiling. He peers through them at the rows of butchers who stand either side of a long steel work surface carving away joints of flesh and chucking the entrails into large open trolleys. He wanders through to a steam-filled room where bones are boiled in massive vats. Holding his camera down at his waist, he shoots the scene. In another room, he catches sight of Mahogany, slicing through a carcass with a large curved knife. As he raises the blade, he turns and sees the camera. Leon pins himself against the wall, terrified. He looks around, unsure what to do, then inches forward and peers around the corner. Mahogany stands staring, knife in hand. He runs. Pushing his way through a plastic screen, he bumps into a hanging carcass. As he tries to steady himself, he sees rows and rows of carcasses. As he makes his way between the rows, he glimpses Mahogany walking the other way. He stands rooted to the spot. He peers out, then makes a move. Mahogany stands listening, knife in one hand, meat hook in the other. Hearing a sound, he wheels round towards it. He stoops down to look under the carcasses. Leon grabs one of the hanging hooks and hauls himself up so his feet are off the floor. Mahogany stands back up and Leon lowers himself, trying not to make a sound. Getting his breath back for a moment, his hands on his knees, he straightens, sensing Mahogany behind him. He runs. He hurtles through the carcasses, bumping into them and setting them swinging. He escapes into a corridor, knocking a worker flying. Leaping out of a delivery hatch, he runs down the street, grabbing a handle on the back of a departing truck as Mahogany stands and watches. In the diner, Jorgis is at the counter eating steak as Leon joins him. He looks down at the steak as Jorgis cuts it. Jorgis glances up at him.
What? What's wrong?
How can I put this delicately? You look like shit.
I'm gonna break, man. I'm working my ass off.
Doing what? Contracting TB? Hey, Otto, take a look at the dying man over here.
What the fuck happened to you?
What are your specials?
We have brisket on rye, turkey meatloaf on rye, chicken parmesan on...
Leon takes a piece of steak off Jorgis's plate and eats it.
One. It's a big deal. It's one bite. Fuck it. Give me one of these.
You sure about that? It's a steak. Meat.
Absolutely.
Otto grins and throws a steak on the grill. At home, Leon kneels on the floor surrounded by hundreds of ancient newspaper cuttings and photographs. More articles, images, and maps are pinned to every wall. Maya comes in.
Hey.
She looks around at the mess.
I know I look like shit.
More of the butcher?
That's where he works.
Babe, listen to me. Look, I don't care if you eat meat. I eat it all the time. But this thing with this butcher, shouldn't you be focusing on your work for the show?
Oh, God. No. Remember what you told me? About how people are always missing for all sorts of reasons, right? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but usually there's a reason. I've been thinking a lot about that lately. Look at this. These pins represent missing people for the last 3 years. Okay, not one of them has ever turned up. No letter home, no call for money, not even a corpse, nothing. They just vanished into thin air.
Well, okay, so what do you think happened?
Well, it's not chance. Somebody's abducting them. And they never find the bodies because he takes them here.
He butchers them? Baby,
oh my God, look at this.
Listen to me, I'm sure.
Look at this, look what I found.
This is...
He hands her a newspaper cutting.
So some guy was accused of kidnapping.
Guy worked the same meatpacking plant. The guy who worked the same meatpacking plant.
What are you saying? Are you saying that it's the same person? Is that what you're saying? Because I don't understand how that works. How does that work?
No,
how was he reincarnated or something?
No, I don't know. Maybe. But look, the point is, but it's happened before. I mean, it can't be a coincidence. I mean, no, this guy is involved somehow. I know it. Look at this. I was there the night that it happened. She got abducted. This is the train she went in on. That's his hand. You know how I know it? Because I took another photograph earlier of him going down into the subway, the same subway. I totally got him. Look, that's him. This is the guy, Maya. It's been happening. There's been abductions. It's happened before. I don't know if it's a copy guy, but it's him, and I've got him.
This is not what's going on, okay? This is all fake, okay? It's not. No more. No more night shoots. No more, please. Just day shoots. I don't want you to shoot terrible things. I want you to stop with the conspiracy theory. I want you to stop with the butcher. I just want you to shoot the stuff that makes you happy. What makes you happy? What do you love? Please. Don't leave me.
You, I love you. I love you.
He tries to smile, but his thoughts seem far away. She strokes his cheek. She presses the camera into his hand and backs away. Taking the clip out of her hair, she runs her fingers through it and shakes it loose. He raises the camera to his eye as she starts to unbutton her blouse, but scenes of butchered carcasses flash in front of him. She slips off her blouse and unclips her bra, but images of the subway invade.
I got it.
As she crosses her arms across her breasts, he takes the shot.
It's good.
She backs away, increasingly anxious as he tries to concentrate, but the butcher is there in front of him.
I'm sorry.
Why?
I'm sorry.
Turning away, she goes into the bedroom. In the diner, Maya stares ahead blankly as Otto flips burgers.
Jurgis showed me a picture of that broad that's going to make your boy rich and famous.
Yeah, so?
What do you have to do to get a date with a broad like that, huh?
Magically transform into someone who does not call women broads.
She glances round as Leon comes in.
Maya, can I talk to you for a second?
No fucking way.
Hmm?
No, come back later. She's busy. Come back later.
You okay?
You're all right. That's all I wanted to say.
Shaking her head, she kisses him on the cheek. As she moves away from him, Leon sees Mahogany standing outside the diner. The two men lock eyes. Mahogany goes. Leon looks round at Maya, then follows. In the subway, a train arrives and Mahogany gets on. Leon takes out his camera, winding the strap around his wrist as he boards the train. The clock over the platform scrolls to 2:06. On board, Leon walks along a car, then sits quickly when he spots Mahogany. The train hurtles through a tunnel. Leon keeps his eyes on Mahogany, who sits motionless in the next car, his bag resting on his knees. A couple of lads walk up behind Leon.
Candy. You want to buy some candy?
Sorry, man.
Whatever, man.
The lads go through to the next car and approach Mahogany.
You gonna buy some candy, mister?
He sits completely still, clutching his bag.
Go to somebody else. Come on, man, buy some candy.
The lad opens a box and Mahogany looks slowly up at him. Glaring at the young lad, he reaches into his bag and stands, pulling out a dollar bill. The lads take it and go. The doors open and most of the passengers get off. Mahogany glances towards Leon's carriage as the train pulls out of the station. A red light flashes in the distance. The train runs the red light, forking right down the branch line. Mahogany places his bag on the seat and opens it, taking out the gleaming silver tenderizer. He walks past a couple of guys to the end of the car, peering through the window into the next one. Leon cowers on the floor, camera in hand. Mahogany turns away and mallets the two guys. Leon peers out from his hiding place as streams of blood spatter the windows. Leon looks on in horror as Mahogany drags a corpse along the car. He throws himself to the floor as Mahogany comes back towards him, waiting in terror for the door to open. As nothing happens, he gets up and peers through the window. He sees Mahogany with his jacket off stooping over the bodies and takes the shot. Methodically, Mahogany strips each body, placing their clothes in plastic bags. He gets a medical kit from his bag and takes out a metal clamp which he inserts into the guy's mouth, forcing the jaw open. With a pair of pliers, he extracts the teeth, twisting and yanking them out. He tears off each fingernail. Then, using a long metal hook, prizes out their eyeballs. He puts them in a plastic tub. Leon photographs as Mahogany hand clips the guy's hair. He thrusts a meat hook through the guy's heels. He hauls the cadavers to hang upside down from the ceiling. Leon lowers his camera as Mahogany turns grinning to face him. Leon runs in terror, Mahogany following in no hurry. Running desperately through car after car, Leon reaches the front of the train and bangs on the door of the driver's cab.
Hey! Open up! Open the fucking door! Open the fucking—
Mahogany slams his head against a window. Leon comes to, naked and hanging upside down from the ceiling. The train is no longer moving and the lights are out. He looks round, taking in his surroundings, then struggles to free his bound arms. Mahogany watches from the next car as a figure lopes in behind Leon, who twists and turns. A black claw reaches out of the darkness and tears at Leon's flesh. Mahogany turns away as the creature gouges Leon's chest. Leon's eyes flicker open. He's in his clothes again and lying on the platform of the abandoned Heron Street subway station. He struggles to his feet. He hauls himself painfully up some stairs, emerging in the meat packaging plant. The place is mostly deserted, a couple of workers emptying dumpsters or straightening meat hooks. In the apartment, Maya sits cross-legged in the armchair in her PJs. She stares down at the photos and newspaper cuttings that litter the floor. Picking up a shot of Mahogany, she rips it up. She looks towards the door.
My God.
She tucks the gun into her waistband.
Who is it?
It's me.
Oh, thank God, baby. Where have you been? Leon, what's the matter? Leon! Leon, what's going on? Leon, what's the matter? Leon? Babe, come on, open up. What's going on?
He looks at himself in the bathroom mirror.
Leon, open the door. Leon, you're scaring me.
He opens his shirt.
Please open the door.
A star is clawed across his chest.
This is not fair, Leon. Open the door!
He washes off the blood.
Open the fucking door now! You know you can't do this! This is not fucking fair! You cannot just be gone all night and just disappear and then fucking lock the door in my face!
He comes out, shirt back on.
I need to sleep.
No. Baby. What happened? What happened? God.
She sees the marks.
We have to get you to a hospital right now.
I followed them into the subway.
It's always the late train. Probably the same one each time. He waits for it to empty out. And then he kills them. He butchers them like cattle. I saw it. I took pictures. They never find the remains because he unloads the meat somewhere.
I have to call an ambulance.
There's an abandoned subway station underneath the meat plant.
Okay, here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna take you to the hospital. And when the doctors are working on you, I'm gonna take your pictures and I'm gonna take them to the cops.
They won't listen. My camera's gone. He took it from me. That's the only proof I have.
Baby, it's gonna be okay. I'm gonna call the ambulance, okay? I'm gonna fix it.
She strides down the hall to the kitchen and gets the phone. Leon grabs it from her.
It's okay. Don't think I'm a lunatic. Don't think that I killed Erica.
Man, I want to help you. Help me. I want to help you.
No. Sleep. My opening's tonight.
He strokes her hair and leaves her terrified in the kitchen, surrounded by the pinned-up photos. One of them catches her eye, Mahogany going into the Hotel Barclay. Later she and Jorgis are outside the hotel.
We're as crazy as he is.
No, we're not. Because we know what we're doing is insane. He doesn't. What else are we gonna do? Jorgis, what else? We need his camera. We need to see what he saw.
She heads into the hotel and he follows. Mahogany leaves his room and strides down the dimly lit corridor, black leather holdall in hand. Maya and Jorgis emerge from another corridor, peering around the corner to check the coast is clear. They creep warily towards Mahogany's room. Jorgis tries the door but it's locked. He takes out a credit card and forces the lock.
Jesus Christ. Oh, no, no. I want you to wait here. If he comes back, just make a sound, okay? Hey.
Jorgis waits in the doorway as she goes into the darkened suite. Maya creeps along the hallway, making her way to the kitchen, where she opens a drawer containing neatly arranged surgical instruments. She stares open-mouthed as she opens another. A third is full of hacksaws. She looks through the cupboards.
If he comes back, we're screwed. It's gonna go a lot faster with two of us, okay? I'm gonna go this way. Fuck.
In the bedroom, Jorgis finds a slim leather case full of scalpels and scissors. He picks up an implement, a cluster of curved steel spikes. In the bathroom, Maya opens the cabinet over the basin. Its shelves are stacked with jars of severed pustules. Mahogany walks silently into his sitting room and places the leather holdall gently on a table. He stands listening, then reaches into his bag for the meat tenderizer. Jorgis looks through another chest of drawers. He turns his attention to the closet. Inside, identical dark suits are individually covered in plastic. On a hanger at the end of the rail, he sees Leon's camera and unhooks it. As he hangs it around his neck, he senses someone behind him and freezes. Mahogany raises the glinting silver mallet. Dropping one of the glass jars in the basin, Maya hurries out of the bathroom. In the sitting room, she sees the black leather holdall on the table. She approaches it and, reaching inside, pulls out an old leather wraparound wallet. Unfastening the buckle, she opens it to find a sheaf of subway departure schedules. Some are over 100 years old. All of them have the late train times ringed. She looks up at the noise, tucks the wallet in her pocket, and creeps out of the sitting room. She peers out along the hallway.
Jorgis.
She goes into the bedroom, which is lit by the soft glow of a couple of table lamps. Her eyes scan slowly around the room, fixing on the open closet. Among the plastic-covered suits, one suit is uncovered. Mahogany waits in the closet, blood-stained mallet at the ready. Maya runs. She falls over in the hotel corridor as she flees. In the apartment, Leon sits in the bath, the water stained red from the star-like design clawed across his chest. He stares darkly ahead. Maya sits waiting at a desk as the female detective arrives.
Ms. Jones.
Did you find Jorgis?
Calm down. Please, sit. I just received a report from an officer on scene. It went to the room you gave me. There's nobody there.
But that can't be right.
I met the tenant in the lobby. He let them examine the place, and he'd been out the whole day.
No. He's a butcher. Leon says that he slaughters people. He kills them. He's seen it, photographed it.
What are you talking about?
I know it sounds crazy. I didn't believe it either. But I was in his room. I saw the tools he uses.
Okay. Let's talk about what really happened. The tenant said a family heirloom was missing. An album. He wants it back.
It's a timetable with a check for every murder going back 100 years. You cannot give that back to him. It's the only proof we have.
Let me see it, please. The tenant doesn't want to press any charges. He just wants his property back.
I don't have it. Jorgis does. You have to find Jerkus.
Look, you've already admitted to breaking and entering. That's very serious. I could hold you for that alone.
If you do not go back with me, I'm gonna go back with someone else.
And you'll be arrested, Miss Jones.
She eyes Maya coldly as she gets up and goes. In the gallery, Susan, wearing a black halter neck evening gown, walks with Leon, pointing out potential buyers among the guests.
Bill and Sue Bennett, they buy what I tell them to. But to give themselves the illusion of free will, they wait for my third suggestion. The Kleins, they'll want some alone time with you for a little postmodern chit-chat. Humor them. It's a sale. Ah, the Franks. Now, they never buy photography, but if anyone can convert them.
Jack, Andy, I'd like you to meet Leon.
Andy thinks you're more like a painter than a photographer.
Andy, that's very perceptive of you. I actually started out as a painter.
Duty calls, if you'll excuse me.
Leon smiles awkwardly at the couple.
Excuse me.
He backs away and stares at one of his images, a life-size print of mahogany in hard hat and overalls, wielding his large knife in the meat factory. The eyes stare directly out at him and he stands transfixed by their dark intensity.
Public awaits you.
She looks at the image.
I'm not holding my breath on that one. A tad too bleak. Leon? Where are you going?
I said, where are you going?
I got a train to catch.
Alone in the diner, Otto's having to wait table.
No, you said medium rare.
Hey, zip it, huh? Ouch, it's hot. Hold on one second. Hey, where the hell you been? Excuse me.
Where is it?
Where's what? My... All right, now you're as crazy as your boyfriend. What? Stop! What are you doing?
She grabs a gun.
Stop, right? Hey, don't you... If you don't leave... Maya, stay right there, honey,
Leon, are you there? That butcher... Maybe that butcher, I think he has Jerkus. I mean, that cop, detective.
Miss Jones.
As the detective comes out of the shadows, Maya aims.
I want the book, Miss Jones.
Tell me what's fucking going on. Now.
Do you have any idea?
Where is Jerkus?
She aims at her head.
Tell me.
The detective doesn't flinch.
He's on the train. 14th Street. First one after 2:00.
Maya runs off. Elsewhere, Leon walks along the deserted Heron Street. Maya hurries down into the subway, passing through the barrier and going down to the platform. Leon gets to the meat factory and goes in. Maya stands staring at the open doors. As she steps onto the train, the display above the platform scrolls to 2:06 a.m. In the meat factory, Leon walks among the hanging carcasses. He goes to a rack of butcher's equipment and takes down a chainmail apron, putting it on. He fastens a knife belt around his waist and loads it up with different blades.
Thank you.
He takes up a meat hook and twists it round in front of his face. The train screams through a tunnel. Sitting in an almost empty car, Maya glances slowly over her shoulder. Standing behind her is a long-haired man holding onto the grab strap. She turns away, reaching inside her jacket for the gun. In his butcher's apron, meat hook in hand, Leon strides purposefully along the abandoned subway station, his shadow thrown large on the walls. The train doors open and the long-haired man gets out. Staring out of the front of the train, the unyielding face of the driver, as the train runs the red light and forks right down the branch line. Maya glances about anxiously as the lights fizz and flicker. She gets up and walks to the end of the car, the revolver in her hand. Opening the connecting doors, she goes through to the next car. The lights black out and she grabs onto the metal rail as the train lurches violently. Tooled up and determined, Leon stands on the platform edge. He glances up as the lights flicker, turning to see the train rattling along the track towards him. As the train hurtles through the station, he sees Maya climbing between cars. He calls out in horror.
No!
Running along the platform, he leaps up and grabs the end of the train with his meat hook, swinging round and crashing into the door. As he clambers frantically at the back of the train, Maya nears the front, where the windows are smeared with blood, and a row of human corpses hang upside down.
No! No! Oh, no!
Retching and trying to block out the sight, she carries on through the car towards the bodies. One of them, still alive, is Jorgis. In the next car is evidence of Mahogany's work, his open holdall, blood-stained medical instruments, the neatly bagged clothes and shoes of the victims. Mahogany, in shirt sleeves and apron, is kneeling by the body of a naked woman, preparing her. At the back of the train, Leon smashes a window to get in. Maya tries to lift Jorgis, but he slips down and the hook tears through his ankle. Hearing the cries, Mahogany stops his work. He gets up, slings the body over his shoulder and walks through to the car where Maya is struggling to free Jorgis. Seeing her, he tosses the body down. She picks up the revolver and aims. As the bullets whistle past him, Mahogany hurls the mallet and fells her. As she lies sprawling, he advances, picking up the mallet and looming over her.
No! No!
She holds her hands out in front of her terrified face. With a look of wide-eyed malevolence, Mahogany raises the blood-stained mallet high above his head.
Hey!
He stops mid-swing. His face softens into a smile of satisfaction as he turns and sees Leon standing at the other end of the car, the corpses hanging between them. The two men face each other like gunslingers, Mahogany with his mallet and Leon with a meat hook and carving knife. They run towards each other. Leon is knocked to the floor.
No! No!
He gets up and lunges. Mahogany grabs his arm and throws him aside. They dodge between the bodies. Maya scrabbles for her gun. Mahogany slashes out, and the blade severs an arm off a corpse. Maya aims. She hits him in the shoulder, but he grits his teeth and runs at Leon, the two men hacking furiously at each other. Mahogany slams him against the rail, then kicks him in the gut, sending Leon sliding along the bloody floor. He hooks Leon's ankle and drags him along the car. Leon grabs a severed limb, twists, and whacks Mahogany in the face. As he drops the mallet, Leon tries to scrabble free but is caught in a headlock from behind. The train hurtles through tunnels as the two men slug it out. Held by the throat, Leon is shoved through a window. Mahogany drags him back in and throws him down. Grabbing a knife, he stabs, but the blade is caught, hovering inches from Leon's face. As Leon gets a foot to his neck, Mahogany twists and hurls him up against the ceiling. Leon thrusts a knife into his foot. Wild with fury, Mahogany sticks his blade into Jorgis. Jorgis's blood and guts cascade down onto the floor. Leon grabs the mallet and swings at Mahogany. They grapple by the open door, trying to force each other out. As Mahogany grips onto the rail, Leon smashes his hand, then headbutts him. Mahogany disappears into the dark of the tunnel as the train speeds on. Leon struggles to haul himself back into the car. He pulls himself up, seeing Maya at the other end of the car. She crawls through the blood towards him, and they meet, throwing their arms around each other and holding on tightly. They both turn, staring in horror at what remains of Jorgis. They pull apart warily as the train begins to slow. It comes to a halt and the car lights are switched off.
Leon.
Above the doorway, the green line sign lights up. They get to their feet and stare out through the open door. They wheel round to see the driver entering their car. He walks calmly towards them.
Please, step away from the meat.
He glances out through the open door, then goes back the way he came. Maya and Leon look anxiously at each other. At the sound, Leon grabs a knife. They stand, rooted to the spot, as creatures lurch onto the train through the open doors. Leon and Maya run through the car and jump out of the train, as more and more gruesome creatures arrive, with hunched bodies and blackened limbs. They claw at the corpses, tearing them off the meat hooks and devouring the flesh. Maya and Leon find themselves walking through the vast cavernous space of the abandoned City Hall subway station. The ground is piled with human bones which have been picked clean by the creatures. As Leon looks towards a stairwell, he sees Mahogany, face gouged and bloody. Mahogany runs and leaps, flattening Leon to the ground. Leon grabs the dead man's skull and crashes it into Mahogany's. Mahogany punches him, ripping off the chainmail apron and hurling it to the ground. Leon hurls a skull which Mahogany catches and throws back. Mahogany reaches for the knife belt and pulls out a blade. As the two men face each other, Leon sees, gouged on Mahogany's chest, the same star-shaped design as on his own. He stumbles and falls. Mahogany pursues him with a knife. Leon grasps a bone and thrusts it into his guts. He goes in for the kill. Mahogany finds a knife and plunges it into Leon's leg, but he carries on. A bone thrust through his neck, Mahogany sinks to his knees, blood streaming from his mouth. Face twitching in agony, Leon pulls the blade from his thigh. He hauls himself up and drags himself over to Mahogany. They look into each other's eyes.
Welcome.
Mahogany's head slumps forward. Leon raises his arms high, the knife in one hand. He brings them together, plunging the blade through the back of Mahogany's neck. Leon collapses onto the ground. Looking up, he sees the driver.
He didn't have what it takes anymore. He knew it must be done. It was a privilege.
Shaking uncontrollably, Leon glares at the driver.
I envy you.
As Leon lunges for him, the driver picks him up by the throat. He reaches into Leon's mouth and rips out his tongue. Then tosses him into the bones. The driver eats the tongue. As Leon gets up, he sees Maya's unconscious body, spread-eagled on a pile of bones.
Before you were born, or the birth of any other human thing, that's how long. Or longer.
And now you found us.
As only a few before you have. The intimate circle that keeps the secret. We protect and nurture them. And order is thereby preserved.
The driver walks over to Maya's body.
It must be done. To keep the world separate. You'll understand soon enough.
The driver thrusts a dagger into Maya's chest. She flails wildly as he reaches in and pulls out her still beating heart. He holds up the heart, offering it to Leon. Leon can only stare and gape noiselessly.
Now serve, as we all do, without question.
Standing in front of the mirror in the hotel bathroom, a man washes his hands before putting on a crisp white shirt. He pushes a silver star-shaped ring on his middle finger, knots his black tie, and pulls on his suit jacket. In the sitting room, the detective watches TV.
Police say Ms. Jones and Mr. Tompkins are only missing at this point, although foul play has not been ruled out. Elsewhere in the city, preparations are underway for the arrival of leaders of several nations in the European Union.
As the man comes out of the bathroom, she stands and hands him the leather wallet of departure schedules.
With local business leaders. The meetings will include a tour of the city's harbor and transport facilities. Stay tuned to WEQT for further developments.
He puts it in his black leather holdall. As he leaves, he glances up at a photo pinned to the wall of Maya smiling happily and being kissed by Leon. On the subway train, the man walks down an empty car, his hair short, suit smart, and shoes polished. He steps through the connecting doors. The lights of a passing train flash past as he walks towards a dozing man, his head resting against the window. The suited man carries on down the car, passing a young couple. As he reaches the end of the car, he turns. It's Leon. Directed by Ryuhei Kitamura. Screenplay by Jeff Buhler based on the short story by Clive Barker. Produced by Tom Rosenberg and Gary Lucchese. Producers Clive Barker, Jorge Sarlegui, Eric Reed and Richard Wright. Director of Photography Jonathan Sella, Production Designer Clark Hunter, edited by Toby Yates. Music by Rob Williamson and Johannes Koblik. The Midnight Meat Train. Leon, Bradley Cooper. Maya, Leslie Bibb. Susan, Brooke Shields. Mahogany, Vinnie Jones. Jurgis, Roger Bart. The Driver, Tony Curran. The Detective, Barbara Eve Harris. And Otto, Peter Jacobson.